Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title for today's sermon prepared by Pastor Harold is I Doubt It, based on our gospel lesson for today from John 20, especially verses 24 and 25. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Doubting Thomas. Don't be such a doubting Thomas. How many times have you heard or spoken those words in humor or in seriousness? At a deeper level, these phrases deal with an area in each of our lives that causes untold pain and sorrow. The inability to believe in something or to trust someone. In our sermon today, we will talk about the Apostle Thomas, the doubter. We will hear the risen Jesus speak to us what he first spoke to Thomas. With Thomas, we will move from, "I doubt it," to, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Thomas, how could you doubt? Many people don't have much sympathy for Thomas. How could he? He'd known Jesus, listened to his voice, felt his touch, walked by his side. How could he? But perhaps, maybe we shouldn't be so quick to put Thomas down. How can I doubt? How can you? Today, just 1 week after Easter, just 1 week after we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, doubt is our ready companion. Doubts can come far too quickly to all of us. More than we want to admit, Thomas is our middle name. Well, we probably don't have the same doubts as Thomas. For most of us, we don't seriously doubt Jesus' resurrection. That we can trust without much reservation. Our doubts are different, but they hurt nonetheless. Our doubts are mostly centered on things simpler than Easter, more mundane than the resurrection. Our doubts are more focused on the here and now, in our relationships, our finances, our children, our work, our schooling, our health, our future. Be honest with yourself and your God this morning. What are your areas of doubt? What areas of life do you have a hard time entrusting to Jesus? Our doubts and fears in these little things lead to bigger questions, deeper questions. Questions like, where are you, God, in this mess? Why, God, why? And when, God, when? Like Thomas, we need assurance. Like Thomas, we need the resurrection gospel. Verses 26 to 28 tell us, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." We need to see the nail prints. We need to see the gaping spear wound. We need to hear our Lord say to us, "Peace be with you." But wait, we've seen and heard such things. Just last Sunday, Easter Sunday. And yet we doubt. Why? Despite the resurrection gospel, despite the risen Lord, despite the Easter celebration, we have been looking for assurances in all the wrong places. Hey you, Thomas, is your doubt the result of trust in worldly institutions? Work lets us down. Government lets us down. Our church and people within her walls let us down. Hey you, Thomas, is your doubt the result of trusting in other people? Our spouse lets us down, our children let us down, our friends let us down. We let ourselves down. And when our trust is placed in any of these directions, and they fail us, doubts rush in to fill the vacuum. And we ask, where are you, God? Why, God, why? And when, God, when? Hey you, Thomas, is your doubt the result of looking for security in personal circumstances? in things like good feelings, lack of problems, constant good health, others always liking you? These things let us down and melt away as quickly as snow on a winter sidewalk after a sunny day of plus 10 degrees. And doubts come, and again we blame God. Where are you, God? Why, God, why? And when, God, when? Hey, Thomas, you've been looking for human solutions for temporary feelings, for fleeting quick fixes, not at the nail prints. Hey, Thomas, that's not what the resurrection is all about. The nail prints and wounded side don't give us that kind of insurance. The nail prints and wounded side do not promise us lack of problems, constant good feelings, never-ending affection from others, but into a locked room filled with disciples, filled with doubts, and scared to death, Jesus came and said, "Peace be with you. I am with you." Into a doubt-filled and fear-locked life of Thomas, Jesus came and said, "Peace be with you. I am with you." Into the doubt-filled and fear-locked lives of all of us Thomases today, Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you. I am with you." Yes, Jesus still comes to Thomas's. We read in verses 27 to 31. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Through the preaching and teaching of his word, through his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, through the waters of holy baptism, the risen and victorious Jesus comes to us today. He comes to us that, as verse 31 says, believing we may have new life. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe." Believe, not in perfect institutions, perfect feelings, perfect health, perfect relationships, life with no troubles, but blessed are those who believe in a heavenly Father who has created and sustains us, in a Son who died and rose for us, in the Spirit who created faith in our heart, that by believing we may have life in Jesus' name. Jesus himself is the life. In other places in John's gospel, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." For Thomases like you and me, Jesus brings life. He brings himself. He comes to us today, into our locked rooms, right through our locked doors of fear and doubt, and declares, "Peace be with you. I am with you." The nail prints he shows us today tell us with strength and gentleness, you do not have to strive hopelessly to find peace and security where it cannot be found. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." What is this abundant life? Abundant life is knowing that whatever life throws at you, you have a loving Savior who will be by your side and he will never leave you or forsake you. Abundant life is facing an unknown future with a confidence that declares, "I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." Abundant life is knowing that in Jesus Christ your worst sins are forgiven and washed away, and claiming God's promise in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Abundant life is being a part of a church family in which you are loved and cherished, a church family filled with people you can count on in time of need, a church family that regularly gathers to be fed by God's holy word and the Lord's Supper. Abundant life is having the very Spirit of God living in you by the power of your baptism, so that you can say no to temptation, no to sin, and no to the lies of the devil. Abundant life is the ability to lay your head on your pillow at night knowing Abundant life is the ability to lay your head on your pillow at night knowing that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, if you should die before you wake, you can trust in the Lord your soul to take, and you will be with him forever in heaven. Now that's abundant life. And what should be our response to the risen Jesus who gives us such life? With Thomas, we are to come to the place where Jesus is. Good old Thomas shows us what to do and where to go. Thomas had his fears and doubts, but he did not remain an island unto himself. Thomas went to the place where the other disciples were gathered, and there was Jesus with his wonderful nail-pierced hands of love and his undying promise, "Peace be with you, I am with you." And while in the presence of the risen Jesus, Thomas's doubts so melted away, he could declare in faith, "My Lord and my God." Thomas himself shows us how critical it is for us to come to the place where Jesus is, where he comes to be with his disciples, even with their doubts. Today, this place is the church. Especially in worship and study around God's word, here is the place where Jesus himself promised he would surely be, as he said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of them." This is why again and again we hear our pastor encouraging us, inviting us, asking us to make a priority of attending Bible class, to make a priority of consistent worship attendance, because these are the places Jesus meets you, me, and all Thomases. After Thomas met the risen Jesus, his life was changed. He had a new purpose for living. You have met the risen Christ. What is your purpose for living? Trusting that Jesus rose from the dead with victory over sin and doubt, Thomas lived the rest of his life serving Jesus. Each of us who put their faith in Jesus are called to a life of serving Jesus and loving others. Though the Bible is silent about this, church history records reveal that doubting Thomas became the Apostle Thomas. He brought the Christian faith to India and there established the first Christian church. There he also gave his life as a Christian martyr, willing to die rather than denounce his faith in the risen Lord Jesus. Thomas served Jesus with his last breath. Even the threat of death could not destroy his faith in the nail-pierced and risen Lord. Jesus is risen. Death is defeated. The gates of heaven are opened wide. This is the truth of Easter. This is the truth that dispelled Thomas's doubts. This is the truth of God that dispels our doubts today. He is risen. All that is left for us to say is to join with Thomas and fall before our risen Lord Jesus and confess, "My Lord and my God." In the name of Jesus, amen.